All right, so this is actually our third week on prayer, and with gaps in between, so we'll jump on where we left off, and so if you have your handout, we're starting at the top of 103. All right, looks like we may have somebody else coming in. All right, so far we've been looking at kind of the focus on the first one was just looking at prayer and looking at the question ultimately of why would I not pray? And so we spent our first lesson on that. Then the second lesson, we looked at the when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And so we looked at that model prayer quite a bit and also addressed posture in prayer. You know, how do we address our prayers and whose name that we pray? And so now we're just continuing that section as we look at in whose power am I to pray? Whose power am I to pray? So if you go to Ephesians 6:18, tells us, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're praying in the Spirit. Let's also look at Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we're indicating here that we're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're addressing our prayers to the Father. We're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. So once again, we just see how God builds in the Scriptures, our understanding of the Trinity, and their different roles than the different persons of the Godhead play. And so certainly the Holy Spirit is one who empowers us, as we learn through many other aspects of Scripture. And so why not also in prayer that he's also the one who empowers us? Even in Romans 8, we also learn that he can utter prayers that we don't know how to voice. We don't even know how to put a bit into words, but he will also utter those prayers for us before the very throne of God. All right, so this now we're going to have quite a few verses here about attitude. There's a lot of things that we can do, but to do them with the right attitude really makes a big difference. And that can cross just about every aspect of life, but I think if we start looking at prayer and look at our attitude about prayer, then that can make a difference on how the Holy Father, the Heavenly Father hears us when we pray. You know, how is it really aligned with in the name of Jesus? Because remember, in the name of Jesus is not only how he would want us to do it, but also in his Spirit, in his name, representing him. And so if we can't do it with the right attitude, then the Father's not going to, it's like he's going, no. I mean, it's just like any child coming to you, asking for something, and they just come up with a really bad attitude. You do not want to give them what they ask for, because it just supports their bad attitude. And, you know, I think God's the same way. It's that sin. He tells us he's not going to hear us because our sin is separating between us. So as we look here at different attitudes to have in prayer, we're just going to go down this list here, and it's a little bit of an exercise, so you have to participate a little bit, but we're going to read a verse, and then of these nine characteristics, these nine attitudes, if we will, we'll call them that today, nine attitudes, then where do they fit? And as I was going through there, I put a number 10, and humbleness was number 10, because I think several verses fit there better than any of the others. Okay, so as we start looking at Psalm 62:8, we'll just work our way through here. It's a good Bible drill. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Where does that fit in an attitude of prayer? We've got reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, openness, and then humbleness. What's that?
Faith.
Faith. Okay. Openness. All right. I really saw that word, pour out your heart before him. That would kind of point towards the earnestness. There's a variety of answers. I don't know if there's any one right or wrong answer here, but that is one aspect that caught my attention when it, yes, we're trusting, so that's very important as we pray, but then that pouring out your heart before him, pouring it out. You know, it's that picture coming before the Lord, and it's like, okay, there may not be anybody else in life who will listen right now. Maybe nobody even cares. You know, let's just go to the extreme. Maybe there really is nobody else who cares, but God still cares. And so when we can just pour our heart out before him, it is that picture of just, it is openness, earnestness. Okay, Matthew 6, 9. Someone quote that one? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right, so where does that point you towards in these attitudes? Reverence, absolutely. God is, you've got to remember who we're praying to. You know, this is not our big brother. You know, it's not our buddy. You know, this is Almighty God. He's our creator. So we come before him in reverence. And then in 6:10, we can continue that. How's 10 go? Okay, where does that fit?
Confidence.
A confidence. All right. So we have you can have a confidence that what is our confidence in?
That his will be done.
Okay. And that certainly is our prayer. We want him to accomplish his will, certainly. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Luke 11:3. I'll try to keep moving so we don't bog down or anything. Luke 11:3. And this is just a jump to the other passage where he's teaching him to pray. Where he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Yeah, every day we have to depend on our Lord. And that's the way he expects us to be, just like a small child on their parents. All right, Luke 11:5-8. Which of you shall have a friend? He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What's the attitude of prayer here? Yeah, persistence, absolutely. All right, and then the following verses, Matthew 18:1-5. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Persistence. Yeah, the same thing, persistence. And so we have two lessons there that are teaching us to pray with persistence. Romans 15:30. All right, James says earnestness. And the verse reads, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. All right, so Romans 15:30, feel it's earnestness. Okay, And then we'll go to Philippians 4, 6. Again, some of these are familiar, so you may very quickly go, ah, I know what this is about. So Philippians 4, 6, B. The whole verse is, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Sounds pretty straightforward. Thanksgiving. We bring everything before the Lord, reminding to be grateful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So again, on the one hand, it's pretty straightforward that that's reminding us to be thankful in our prayer, but it also says, in everything, give thanks. Well, that goes beyond just thankfulness, but it's also continuing that thought of, I don't know whether it's persistence or completeness, but it's just realizing that you don't back off after a couple things. Well, okay, I said thank you. I said thank you for five things. Keep going. You got all day. As long as you've got, our thanksgiving should be continual. As the verse right before that, pray without ceasing. And so again, that could go to a persistence, though they didn't list that one. All right, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So boldness. So we're having some attitudes that have to be kept in check with one another. We come boldly with great confidence, but we come reverently. And so I don't think there's a problem with combining those two when we have the right set of attitudes. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. So without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right? So we definitely have to come to him in faith, believing. And then James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So again, we have to come in faith, have to come believing. And then also in the book of James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So another earnestness, and certainly that earnestness that we have to come before him. Having a right heart. Well, I would say that it was kind of including this concepts of our attitudes before him, but certain could be added to that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, and then 1 Peter 5:7. This is where I think you have to drop back and pick up 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Openness.
All right. So, yeah, we're saying, Lord, I'm bringing it all to you. I'm not holding anything back. I have to give it all to you. All right. And so at the same time, we come to him in that openness with a confidence that when we cast our cares upon him, he will certainly care for us. Yes, a dependence as well. Absolute dependence on him. Okay, and then the last one on this list, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Okay, you could obviously take a lesson on any one of these verses or any combination thereof, but in total, the point and the real takeaway here is that we've got to come before God in the right attitude of prayer. So here we are, we talked about some, if you will, mechanics. You know, what position can we be in? To whom do we address it? And whose name do we pray? And whose power do we pray? And, well, what attitude do I need to bring into prayer? And so now it starts shifting back towards, let's not get bogged down in the mechanics of prayer, but now let's start talking about what's really going to make a difference. Well, what's going to really matter now as we come before the Lord, as we start pouring our heart out to him, coming before him in great confidence that he's going to hear us, he's going to answer our prayers when we come, being grateful as we come. I think boldness, I think when we come in humbleness, try not to get the lesson too out of order, but you know, if we have sin in our heart, we know the Lord's not going to hear us, he's not listening, but once that's cleared up, now we have the freedom to come boldly. But when we try to come boldly, but we have sin blocking our relationship with God, I think that boldness becomes brashness. And I don't think he respects that as the boldness that he's talking about. He's saying you can come boldly because you're coming in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. What more do you need to come before the throne of God? And so when we come with that proper attitude and that proper relationship, then yes, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Okay, let's keep moving here. When should I pray? When should I pray? Well, we saw a moment ago 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and which says simply, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And there's really, the takeaway there is no time that you can't pray. There's different aspects of prayer, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the bottom line is there's no time that you can't pray. Why? Because it's simply communicating with our God. You know, and so then even that we can have that continual, nonstop attitude of prayer throughout. Not only do we have an attitude of prayer, but we have the right attitudes in our prayer. So when we have a constant prayer, and so we're just like constantly communicating with our Lord all day long. I mean, just simple things. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, could you? Oh, thank you. And just all day long, he's there. And if we're not doing that, then we tend to forget that he is right here with me all the time. And then when we can only pray when we have this one spot, then it's almost like, well, let's see, I've got to go to church to see God. You missed the whole point. You know, the Lord is with us all the time, and so we can talk to him all the time. And the more we talk to him throughout our day, the more we're going to grow our relationship. Now, then we need to be careful about what we're saying and what we're talking about, because that matters what builds a relationship, does it not? I mean, you can have some very, very superficial relationships, and you can say, hi, how's the weather, and I mean, that's about it. You know, I mean, you know each other's name and you're friendly, but, you know, that's about it. But then there's other people that you can kind of go deeper with. And so you build that relationship. And the more you talk about certain things, the more you build and grow in a relationship. And so when we do that with our Heavenly Father, the same thing happens. Especially when we start listening to him and when we start being quiet and listening as part of that conversation. All right. There are several examples here that we'll just make reference to without looking them all up, but we know from Daniel 6:10, there was three very specific times a day that Daniel purposely stopped everything, went to a certain spot, and prayed. So there was designated set-aside times. We know that God has had them establish certain things like that along the way. We see the apostles continuing that, even after being saved, they still went to the temple at the hour of prayer because there were just set times. It's like, no, we're going to stop everything and focus, and we're going to purpose to go before our Lord and have prayer. There's something to be said, a lot to be said for that, because we're saying, no, Lord, you are such a priority that I'm putting you on my calendar. A lot of times, just in my years of the workforce, just particularly people wanting to come talk. There was one time I went into a job, and the general mindset was, oh, open door policy. My door is always open. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, there's just showing openness and allowing people to come. But what I realized is the open door policy meant that I never got anything done because there were a whole lot of them and only one of me. And so it's like, well, I don't think this is going to work, this open door policy. And so I put out the word that said, hey, I know this may sound strange, but I don't have an open door policy. Instead, if you want to talk, please call and you're going to get on my calendar. Because when you come, I want to be attentive. I want to be focused on what you have to say. But if you just kind of catch me in passing, I mean, we can be cordial, but if you really want me to get something, then we need to sit down and talk and focus. I need to take notes, and I want to hear what you have to say. So there's a different approach and different times of life for different things. I think God has the phenomenal ability to not only have an open-door policy, but I think he also respects set dedicated time. Not that he needs the set time to listen to us, because he is more than able to hear and comprehend and answer anything we have to say. But I don't know that we are always very focused if we're saying, well, you know, I pray all the time. Well, great. I mean, I agree with that. But do you ever get serious with the Lord? Do you ever stop and pour your heart out? When is that done? When do you purposely say, wow, here's some things that are just so important. I have a list, and I want to make sure that I'm bringing them before the throne of God. And so I think there's a place for both. And we see through the scriptures of that happening. We see Jesus setting that example. I'm kind of off script here, but you know, we see Jesus doing that. There were times where he went away up into the mountain in the early morning hours, and he prayed to his Father. It was one of those times when he came back down, and he chose those 12 apostles and began his church. Very significant day in history that changed the world, you know, forever. And so that was very important. But then we also see him briefly speaking to his Father. Thank you, Father, that you answered this. I only say this because of those around me. And so he spoke to his Father briefly. As his Father spoke back from heaven briefly several times as well. So there was very dedicated times. David talks about praying each morning. I do want to look at that one, Psalm 5:3. This is, it's. I don't like to use the word favorite with verses. There's just verses that God has drawn out over time, verses that God has just kind of brought to mind to give meditation on over time. And this is certainly one. And, you know, someone has even put it to music, and that helps meditate on some scriptures at times. But in Psalm 5, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." And then he continues on, but he starts off that I see an earnestness. I see an intent, you know, a very purposeful, and this indication that, number one, starting early in the day, I think there's a lot to be said for early in the morning. We see that in many places in the scripture. Jesus certainly set that example, and we see David setting that same example of early in the morning. He's going to be praying out to his God, to his King. He's acknowledging a number of these attitudes that we just talked about in prayer. Can you identify some of those? Sorry? Yes. Mm-hmm. He references him as his King, my God. So he's got that reverence there. Earnest. Yeah, absolutely. Earnest. Mm-hmm. Persistence. Mm-hmm.
Humbleness.
Okay. Humbleness. Okay, we could go on, but I mean, yeah, so even within these few verses, David is displaying here for us that he had the right attitude in prayer, and he's shown us a number of these attitudes. All right, so David praying in the morning. Jesus praying in the morning, Mark 1:35. The apostles practiced set times of prayer in Acts 3:9. We've already made reference to these. All right, and then just look at Proverbs 8:17. And again, reemphasizing this early aspect. When the Lord says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's a great promise I think we can give. To me, it has two aspects. Number one, an obvious early in the day, get our hearts straight, seeking the Lord, purposing to look to Him. And we're promised if we're seeking Him, we're going to find Him. But then also, I think that's a good verse for giving to youth. Seek me early, and you'll find me. And when we purpose to seek God early in life, boy, the earlier in life you can truly find the Lord and truly latch on and purpose to follow Him, now you're set up for all the rest of life. But it's so much harder when folks wait until much, much later in life, because the more baggage you've got coming into to the Lord, the harder it seems to be for people to get serious with the Lord. Now you see some remarkable conversions, and you see some people that just get totally on fire as they truly get saved. But what I tend to see also is that there's certain baggage that they still have. Even with a heart on fire for the Lord, there's certain baggage that they've brought with them, and it takes time to work through that as God works through that sanctification process. So seeking Him early. Well, then we move into where should I pray? Where? I think the answer is pretty clear. Everywhere, anywhere. We can pray anywhere and everywhere. But once again, God does give us some guidance on even where we should pray. And in Matthew 6:6, as we're taught about prayer, it's in conjunction with three what we often refer to as secret disciplines. There are things that God honors that are done in secret. There's things that God honors that are done openly. And when it comes to prayer here, before the Lord teaches them, gives them this model of prayer to use, and starting in Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So here we learn about that prayer closet. We learn about that secret place. Psalm 91 talks about a secret place as well. That I think is a good cross-reference there. Psalm 91 begins with, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's some wonderful messages just from that verse alone, and certainly within that chapter. But there is that secret special place of abiding. And that's, I think, in that prayer closet is where we pour our heart out. That's when we're casting all of our cares upon Him. That's when we can be completely humble and completely open and even persistent. You know, a lot of these attitudes of prayer really come out now as we can just be one-on-one. We're not worried about anybody else overhearing us, not worrying about whether someone sees us. You can practice the different positions of prayer as needed, as we discussed in the last lesson. But it's that secret place, that's prayer closet, and it's good to have a prayer closet. So, all right. So one aspect of where to pray is that private personal prayer in the prayer closet. All right. So then you, we also have public prayers, and there's a number of examples in Scripture where people are praying publicly. I believe in the last lesson we looked at Solomon's prayer. You know, here at the dedication of the temple, that was very public, very, very public. And in that prayer, we see after him lifting up the people, after him beseeching God, you know, put your name in this place, you know, exalt your name, hear us when we pray from this place. And then later, God responds to him in the dream, and that's where we get 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, and I'm sorry, I'm messing that up. So we seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will hear their land. So we, that was a very public prayer that we see a very clear response from God. You know, he answered that very, very clearly. We see a number of other times where there's public prayer. Even though it talked about the time of prayer, the apostles going to the temple, I don't see that as this didn't seem to be secret prayer. You know, this didn't seem to be the prayer closet, so that was more of a corporate prayer time. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul's giving a lot of direction on orderliness in a service, and again, they're given guidance on praying and who should be praying and when they should be praying. And so again, those are public prayers. It's understood that as believers gather together, prayer takes place. And so he gives us guidance on a public prayer as well. And so all of these are very appropriate. So for a new believer, on the one hand, they come into a church and they hear people pray. So that's giving them examples, if you will, and guidance and teaching them, how do I pray? Which puts a lot of pressure, as I think about it, as one who does a lot of the praying in public. It's like, I want to be careful. You know, we don't want to get into vain repetitions. You know, Jesus taught against those, and that's very easy to do. But we want to avoid vain repetitions. We want to be having these attitudes of prayer. Even in our public prayer, we want to make sure that we're doing that. So that the young believers hearing people pray in public will go, oh, okay, here's things I can do to pray. But then there's that other prayer, and it takes a different approach. You know, sometimes it's a one-on-one, maybe, especially when you can start discipling somebody, you know, one-on-one, then that's where they can also learn how to have secret prayer. And then at some point, you know, they, sooner than later, hopefully, you know, they really can understand that they can have a full and open communication with their Heavenly Father by themselves. And that's certainly the intent. So there's place for private prayer. There's place for public prayer. And then he has this comment, in, which is essentially what I just mentioned, about partnership prayer. There's a lot to be said, a lot of value in having a prayer partner. And certainly, I think spouses should certainly be prayer partners. Then there's a place, though, for others to have the right relationships in prayer, getting time alone regularly. We've had those opportunities over time to have those people. Sometimes it's hard. I remember early on, as I was getting out in the Navy, I was intent. It's like, I really want to be pursuing after God. And we already learned that, no, we really need to get this prayer time. And so there's this one guy on the ship, and early in the morning, we found a repair locker, which I had a key to, and we had access to, and we just go and tuck away for a few minutes before the start of the day, and we just have some special prayer time. And then another time, I remember this guy lived, I don't know, halfway across town from where we lived, but I had to go past there in order to go to work. And so stopped by his house, and we spend some time in prayer, and then off to work. And but it's hard. It's hard to get people to, in their busy schedules. I think in this area, of all the places I've ever lived, people just seem to be more rushed. Schedules are harder. Traffic is worse. And so you name it, there's an excuse not to do it. I mean, it's not hard to have an excuse not to do it. The hard thing is say, but how will I do it? And how can I make this happen? And so I think there's a lot. There's a very good place for prayer partnerships and spending time with people in prayer. All right, if there's one takeaway from today's lesson, perhaps that's something you could put on your prayer list and say, well, Lord, is there somebody I ought to be spending time with in prayer? Is there somebody that I ought to be reaching out to and taking the lead and just saying, hey, could we get together once a week? Once a week, you know, is that possible? Sometimes maybe it's like, hey, what if we showed up at church early? Doors are open pretty early normally. I mean, it's pretty rare that the doors aren't open 30 minutes before service, and a lot of you have keys anyway, so but that's an option. You know, just meet somebody a half hour early. There's plenty of places around this building that you can go and be alone. So anyway, I just plant some thoughts, and perhaps there's somebody that the Lord would lay upon your mind that you ought to spend some time in prayer. Because we don't have a lack of things to pray for, right? And we spend a lot of time on our sick list, and certainly when you're one of those who's sick, you absolutely appreciate that, and I'm confident we will continue to do that. But there's a whole lot more we need to be praying about. There's a ton of things that we need to be praying for. There are relationships, there are people that need the Lord, and we need to be bringing them before the Lord. And, you know, it's not, depending on who they are, et cetera, there are some things that I recognize we don't bring before the church publicly. And so we say unspoken prayer request. Well, at some point they have to be spoken to the Lord, and certainly one-on-one we do individually, but there's room for expanding that, is there not? You know, as we have people we can trust, because that's one thing about a prayer partnership is it's got to be somebody you can trust, because when you start wanting to open up your heart and be very sincere and open to the Lord, you're going to reveal things that they're not for public consumption, if you will. And so you have to be careful once you start getting into good prayer relationships there that the confidentiality is maintained as appropriate. Okay. I don't really want to move into the next section because it looks like just about enough to do have one more lesson on this. So we're going to go ahead and stop there. Any comments or any testimonies you want to share about some of the aspects of prayer that we've talked about? Maybe how God's really used that? Got him on the spot. Nathan? Thank you.
I realize that sometimes the answers to our prayers can be subtle. Like, all of a sudden you'll notice a difference in maybe a relationship, and it's like, wow, I remember praying about that. And
what happened?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, amen. There's nothing like trying to share the gospel with someone, and not that you get this question often, but so what's God done for you? Well, let me tell you. And then you can refer directly back to a prayer and the things that God's done. So, okay, well, with that, we will close in prayer and get ready for the message. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for drawing people out today. Lord, that we recognize, indeed, there are a number of folks who are ill right now. There's just a lot of stuff going around, but Lord, you know all that, and you know where each and every person is, and Lord, you know how each person feels, and Father, we're just asking, one, yes, for healing. We certainly desire that you'd heal people. Lord, also in the midst of it, would you make yourself very real and very known, Father, that in these perhaps quiet hours of suffering, that you would also open up people's hearts to pour them out before you. Lord, perhaps people would spend more time in prayer. Perhaps you would just cause them to think about on things that they need to be thinking on or meditating on. And Lord, ultimately, that your name would be exalted in all things. And Lord, certainly today, we are asking that you would draw in those who can come. Father, that you would give a freedom and opportunity and fellowship and exhortation one to another while it's called today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.